You're listening to MLB.com Extras, brought to you by the MLB.com Shop.
Hi, this is Phil Rogers, MLB.com Extras, Cincinnati Reds edition. As always, joined by Mark Sheldon, a fine Reds beat writer. How you doing, Mark?
Fantastic. How are you doing?
I'm doing great. Just counting the days until we head out to Florida and Arizona. It's going to be fun. Another great spring training. One of these days we'll know where Max Scherzer's going. All the things that have remained mysterious this winter. All questions will be answered in time. But I think back, Mark, to the start of 2014 spring training, and if my memory's right, it was ESPN, the magazine's baseball edition, had a story on Cuban players. Yasiel Puig was a focus of it, but it was kind of focused on the Miami, South Florida culture there for Cuban players. And it painted what I thought was a really sad picture of Aroldis Chapman sitting around his house, living with his parents there, but just kind of a general boredom. And it kind of made me wonder, you know, I guess it just painted a sympathetic side that I don't think we stop and think about. Have the Reds worried, or how much has just kind of acclimatization been a part of the story for Aroldis Chapman as he's established himself in North America?
Well, I'll be honest with you. The Reds and Chapman really did not like that story very much, and they didn't think they painted a fair picture of him, because when that writer from ESPN had visited him, it was really early in the off season, like October or November, when he really was in downtime mode. As you know, most pitchers don't ramp things up until around Christmas time, and they really made a point of saying, listen, this is a guy that's doing his thing. What he does with his downtime is entirely up to him, whether he wants to be laying around and sleeping or if he wants to go out and go hunting or whatever he wants to do, it's up to him. But he showed when he got to camp, though, that he was in great shape, and obviously his season bore out that he had a really strong year despite the incident where he got hit in the face by a ball. But as far as his acclimatization, he's always been a little bit of a different dude. He's always had trouble with trust. He's a little wary of the media still. He doesn't speak English still. Johnny Cueto, by comparison, is slowly getting into the interviews in English. And Chapman still keeps to himself a lot. So there is some of that issue. But as far as how he handles himself and does his job, he does the job.
Yeah, no, I think it kind of speaks more to just kind of the challenge that Cuban players face as they come
right
over to the U.S. But I was interested in a story you have on the website now about Aroldis Chapman and a volleyball team in the Cincinnati area and Chapman's ties to players on that team. Can you talk a little bit about what's going on with that?
Sure. The Mount St. Joseph University is a small Division III school on the west side of Cincinnati. They're very known right now because that's the school where Lauryn Hill, who's battling cancer, and she raised a lot of money, and that school got a lot of attention for that. Well, this men's volleyball program they don't get scholarships. They don't have a big budget. And there's a player on that team who hails from Miami, Florida, who is a Cuban-American, but his parents were born in Cuba. And his name was Cesar De Serrano. And by virtue of transferring to Cincinnati, to the Mount St. Joseph, and he's a 28-year-old adult transfer student, but he's eligible to play. Somehow he became a friend of Chapman's through the family, and they remain close. They're very close friends. And when one day Chapman found out that the Mount St. Joe's volleyball team was fundraising to come up with enough money to refurbish a locker room at the school. And when Chapman heard about that, he donated 80% of the total cost of the renovations, and they opened the locker room last week, and the school was very happy, and they were very thankful for Chapman, and they are going to put a plaque up in his honor.
Yeah, the photos on the website of the locker room make me want to play volleyball.
It's nice. It looks really – I saw the video, too. There's a nice locker room. It's about 21 lockers. It's state-of-the-art stuff. They custom-made wood and – nice flooring, so they did it right. And the school, the kids at the school still raised the last 20% because the coach really felt like they needed to be invested in it too. And so Chapman probably could have picked up the whole tab, obviously, but they wanted to. They agreed on this total. They didn't disclose the amount, but they're very thankful that Chapman was generous.
Awesome little story. Looking at the Reds roster as we head towards spring training, an issue you discussed some, the shortstop situation. Go back to Zach Cozart's been there 3 years, and it seems like while his glove has become solid, his bat has regressed, and it kind of seems a flip-flop to me. When he arrived, I thought he looked like a guy that would hit, maybe hit for some power. Not sure how he would play in the field, but it's kind of the flip side of a Paul Yanish, who had been there before. And now with Suarez coming over from the Tigers, Eugenio Suarez, does Cozart need a good spring training to hang on to that job?
Yeah, I would say maybe not necessarily a good spring training, but a good start to the season when the season starts. I think Suarez will be there to push him. Cozart's still considered the everyday guy, and I don't think he has to worry too much unless he has a really horrific spring training or is unprepared. And I don't, knowing Zach, he won't be unprepared. He'll definitely come in and be ready to work, but at the same time, it's competition now, and it's something he hasn't had since he's been here. So he's going to have a good showing, and he's going to have to come out of the gate pretty strong in April. And I think Suarez is more offensive-minded. He's got a smaller sample size. As you know, you said you've seen him before, but he's known more for his bat. He had 10 errors in a short amount of time in 80 games defensively, and Cozart had 10 errors for the whole season. And, as you know, sabermetrically is one of the top two shortstops in National League for range factored runs saved and things like that. So it'll really come down to how Cozart's hitting, but also how the team is hitting. If they can't afford to give away outs and they're struggling, you might see a chance for Suarez to get some time at shortstop.
Yeah, looking at Cozart, never been a guy hit for average or take a lot of walks to get on base, but the power potential maybe caused us not to look at that. 2012, 15 home runs in his rookie year. Last year, only four. Could that be sort of a small sample size thing where kind of like Babbitt, that's going to pop up and next year same kind of hitter, and he'll be back to hitting double-figure home runs, or has something happened to him as a hitter?
Well, I don't know if anything's happened to him. He's always been streaky, though. He's been the guy, one of the guys on this team that's been very prone to ebbs and flows, like 0 for 20s and things like that. It's happened, especially the last two seasons, and it's. I don't know if he's gotten away from his strengths. He's been able to hit the ball, hard up the middle in the past, and I don't know if he's doing that as much. It's just something he just needs to hit better. And I think, like, the whole team was struggling offensively, as we've chronicled many times, and he was just one of those guys that did. But the problem was that it got exposed more when Joey Votto, Jay Bruce, and Brandon Phillips aren't pulling their weight for whether it was injuries or struggles, and then you have the guy in the eight hole who's hitting .221 and only has a .250 on base percentage, it becomes more glaring. And I think if the Reds are able to do what they're expected to do on the rest of the lineup, they can live with Cozart hitting .240 and maybe having still a sub .300 on base percentage with all the defense he provides. But it's going to be curious to see how the rest of the lineup does and how it affects him.
Mark, the Reds have released, I don't know if it's a full list yet, but a list of their non-roster players coming to spring training. Looking at it, Jesse Winker, probably no surprise he's on it, but his first spring training, will he be the guy that will be looked at the most, outfielder who people project in the near future into that left field spot?
I think he's going to get a lot of attention. I think you're also going to look at Mick Howard, who's the first-round pick from last year, who's going to be in his first big league camp, or first spring training, actually. So he'll be there. And I think, again, Robert Stevenson, the number one overall prospect on the team, a right-handed pitcher, he's going to have his second camp. And he'll get a lot of attention. But with Winker, you know, you just want to kind of get a sense of what he can do, you know, what just against a higher level of competition. He was mostly in Class A, High A last year. He had some games at Double A, but then he got hurt, had a car accident, missed most of the second half. But he did really well in the Arizona Fall League, which is obviously a higher level of pitching. And you know, he might have a chance to face some major leaguers when he bats in you know, in spring training. So it'll be curious to see how he does. He's known for not really necessarily a power guy like Jay Bruce type of hitter, but he is known for hitting the ball hard and hitting it to all fields and being a line drive guy. So it'll be you know, nice to see what he can do.
Another guy on that list, Jose Mijares, was kind of a high-end prospect at one time with the Twins. Career didn't really blossom. He's pitched some internationally since then. Is he a guy that could open eyes with a good spring training?
Yeah, he could. He talked to Walt Jocketty about him, and being that he's left-handed, and they're looking at him as a possible left-handed reliever. That's an area where they really had they lacked last season. Take away Chapman, who had a great year, and he's a closer. But the you know Manny Parra took a step back last year. Sean Marshall has been injured for the last 2 years and hasn't really been contributing. They have a guy named Ryan Dennick who had a couple of nice games, but also got hit hard towards the end of last year in September call-up. So they're a little short on left-handed guys. And I think you know Mijares has been pitching like crazy in the winter ball and. He didn't really pitch much last season because he got released so early, so he's probably making up for some lost time. But he could be a factor if he has a good spring training.
Well, thank you very much, Mark. This is Phil Rogers for Mark Sheldon. This has been MLB.com Extras Cincinnati Reds edition.
Visit the official online shop of Major League Baseball at MLB.com/shop for the largest selection of authentic caps, T-shirts, jerseys, hoodies, collectibles, and more. Get your gear straight from the source, the MLB.com shop.